This episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks is brought to you by the Mason Jar, New York City. The Mason Jar is the official Gamecock bar for the New York City area. Fans and alumni of USC can come by the jar for some great barbecue, cold drinks, and of course, to watch the Gamecocks in any sport, all while surrounded by South Carolina memorabilia. If you want to get a slice of game day in Columbia all while in the Big Apple, head to the Mason Jar on East 30th Street. All right, here we go. Welcome to episode 95 of Cox Talking Gamecocks, brought to you by the Mason Jar, New York City. And say what's up. What a time to be a Gamecock. Got my swag on, turned up to 11. You might be able to tell in my voice I am under the weather, but it does not matter based on what happened this weekend. Jordan had his flu game. This is my flu podcast. I absolutely have to get up and report to how fun and great it is to be a Gamecock, and our climate and our culture are well above anybody else's, and we got stupid sunglasses and we dance all day long. Got a very fun interview here as we are going to break down the Kentucky win, but first, have a weekend review for y'all here. A lot of sports, a lot of athletics to cover here from around USC. Starting with Saturday, swimming and diving, those squads took on LSU. Women won 161.5 to 138.5, so good job. The men lost 143 to 157. Equestrian, unfortunately, lost to Texas A&M, 6-14. Women's volleyball, unfortunately, lost to Tennessee, 2-3. And men's soccer, unfortunately, lost to Marshall, 1-3. Not the best Saturday from around USC athletics in terms of, you know, what else was going on. We did have a major, major win up in Lexington Saturday night. And then on Sunday, women's volleyball lost to Tennessee, 0-3. Women's soccer beat Kentucky, 1-0. And I've given a little bit of shout out to these girls, but they are kicking ass this season. They clearly took notes from the football team by handing UK a big L and just are rolling this season. And also, huge news out of the men's tennis program. History was made as Toby Samuel and Connor Thompson win the ITA All-American National Championship for doubles. First time in program history. Toby Samuel and Connor Thompson are national champs. Congrats to them. Congrats to all Gamecocks. It was a great weekend for us, no matter how you slice it. Which brings me to Saturday night recap of football games. The culture is just right as the Gamecocks take down the 13th-ranked Kentucky Wildcats 24-14 to secure Shane Beamer's first win against a ranked opponent, and the program's first three-game win streak since 2017. I mean, that's just a mouthful, but already it just shows you the significance of this game and of this win, and really justifying why Gamecock Nation and Gamecock football fans are still so ecstatic. And really, we're going into this game with a lot of expectations, maybe a little pressure, because so much hung in the balance. But, I mean, where do you begin with this one? I mean, it felt like the stars were aligned a little bit ahead of this game. You had a couple of days of extra rest for South Carolina. Kentucky got exposed and banged up against Ole Miss. But, you know, going on the road at night in the SEC is never an easy task. And up until Saturday night, we weren't sure if our team was able to go up and compete from start to finish on the road. Sad thing to say, but we just hadn't really seen it. But boy, did they prove the doubters wrong. They said, get out of here with that negativity. Literally from the first play of the game, the forced fumble and return, you saw this team had the edge and energy needed for this game and that environment. And you know what? I'm going to give Kentucky a little credit here. That place was rocking. I mean, y'all heard it on the TV. They were loud. I don't know what the hell they were saying. Blue, I guess. Like, great, you can say a color. But, like, it was loud. But from that first play, even without Spalding creating the forced fumble, the D-line was all over that. That play was busted from the jump. And it just showed that energy that the guys had from the very first snap. I mentioned last episode in my Crows to the Game that a major indicator for this game was starting balanced. And I was asking the defense to help set up the offense. Oh, alarm. Turn my swag on. Sorry about that. But you wanted to start balanced, right? And you wanted to get the pressure off of the offense a little bit, particularly by keeping Kentucky off the board early. And that's what got me excited early on, right? Kentucky did not score in the first quarter. And while Rodriguez was able to get a couple of good runs, none of them were backbreakers with the pass defense, really kept them one-dimensional throughout the whole game. But the story of this game has to be the second half. Tied at 7-7, and then Carolina came out and looked like a whole new offense. Just crazy. They get the huge touchdown from Juice to start the half, and throughout the second half, they got a couple key conversions, big runs, put up 10 points in the third quarter, tacked on 7 more in the fourth. Meanwhile, Kentucky only scored once in the second half, late in the fourth, against what was largely just a prevent defense, which, as we know, tends to give up a lot of runs. Some player highlights here for y'all. Really, just so many to list here. Marshawn Lloyd, 110 yards, rushing touchdown. Juice Wells, 66 yards and a touchdown. Jalen, don't call it a comeback, Brooks, 3 catches for 37 yards, but that one rush for 24 yards and a massive touchdown, put the nail in the coffin, touchdown. Sherrod Green, he led the team with 12 total tackles. Also, all of the following players recorded a sack. Some of them had 1.5. Sherrod Green, Gilbert Edmond, Jordan Birch, Zach Sack Pickens, and Tonka Hemingway. That is exactly what you needed to see. Your playmakers making plays and being on the highlight reel, and then your defense getting after it. What's that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 players I listed that had a sack? That is what we were missing. It's what we needed. So let me jump into what I liked and what I didn't like from both sides of the ball, all phases. So what I liked from the whole team was the energy for the whole game. And I talked about that a little bit just now, but just from the jump, you could tell that this team came ready to play. They had that mentality. We had seen on the road or even in big matchups that we would go down in an early hole, and it was just almost too much. We always had to, you know, claw our way back into games. They came locked in from the jump. Also, Beamer ball, loved it. I mentioned this as a Crow to the Game as well, that although the team wasn't able to capitalize it and get points, it was still a big momentum shift and set the tone, talking about bringing that energy. Now, on the offensive side of the ball, what did I like? I liked a lot the second half adjustments. I mean, going into the half, the offense looked more the same that we're used to. In the first half, there was just not a lot of rhythm, stalled drives, silly penalties. What was it? We had, I think it was less than 100 yards of offense in the first half. Just not what you want. But in the second, I have to give Satterfield some credit. They changed things up, quicker passes to the outside like that juice touchdown, and they leaned more on Marshawn Lloyd, trusted him to get things going, and there were a few creative plays sprinkled in just at the right time. Obviously, the Jalen Brooks run for a touchdown, but also there was an Amarian Brown jet sweep thrown in there that got a first down. In fact, God, I sound horrible. I'm so sorry. But in fact, each of the scoring drives in the half were at least 70 yards. That shows patience and methodically moving down the field. Three drives, 70 yards. Spencer made a couple plays with his legs when he had to and was able to find guys for some big conversions. Shout out Josh Van. Josh Van had been pretty quiet up until this game. He had a couple of big catches that were on third downs, getting the first. And for the second week of the row, something else that I loved, was Marshawn Lloyd. I mean, simply put, he is him, and he has arrived. Not only did he have 110 yards on the ground, but he also added 31 receiving. He is about as solid as you could ask for. He averaged 5 yards per carry, but showed multiple times to turn it on for a big run. The one play that stands out was in the second half. He was hit behind the line of scrimmage. Kentucky player had him dead to rights, was able to shake him off, reset his feet, find a hole, and then I think he broke it for like 40 yards. That looked like an NFL play. That is the Marshawn Lloyd that we knew was there. We had seen a little bit. We had really started to see it this season. That play against SEC competition was wow. He needs to be the focal point of this offense, plain and simple. Make teams game plan around him, and that will open things up for everybody else. Marshawn is that good that he's going to be able to get his. But if you have teams focusing on that, maybe loading the box a little bit more, guess what? Throw it to the outside of Juice. Good things happen. What I didn't like on the offense, this is, you know, it's pretty specific, but not being able to cash in after the blocked punt. That would have put South Carolina up by 2 scores very early in the game right away, and it's just pretty inexcusable to turn the ball over there. The offense just looked all out of sorts from the start of that sequence, even after the timeout. And then the play call out of the timeout, which led to the fumble, made no sense. Dropping back, I think it was 4 guys wide. That just felt like galaxy brain Satterfield trying to outthink the defense yet again. Instead of just keeping it simple, handing it off, or doing, you know, a corner route. This offense operates best when it's simple. Don't have to overthink it. You're down on, what was that, 3-yard line? Hand the ball off to Marshawn 2 or 3 times. Then you can get creative. So I did not like that. A side note, it's something that I didn't like, but it was more so applicable in just the first half. But Spencer Rattler is clearly just not used to the system yet. Or this system is just simply not made for his skill set. He looked hesitant at times to throw the ball. He's not setting his feet well. He looks rushed a lot of the times. So it's tough, right? Because in the second half, the call seemed to take a lot of the burden off him. And that needs to be the norm moving forward. I know we all wanted the deep shots. And there were a couple plays where it was called to push the ball. But for whatever reason, guys weren't open, or Spencer didn't feel comfortable throwing the ball in a tight window, and it didn't happen. But once things were simplified, trying to get guys out and just to that second level of defense or the quick bubble screens, then things started to go. So I don't know what it is, but Spencer is clearly not living up to his true ability. When he has time and when he has shown the ability to make crazy plays, It's just not clicking all the time. Not sure what it is. Hopefully, that can click at 100% soon. Now, on the defensive side of the ball, what I liked was the pass rush. I mean, the team had 6 sacks. Speaks for itself. The whole D-line showed up for the challenge from the jump. And at any time that Kentucky dropped back, it just felt like we were right there causing pressure, if not getting the quarterback on the ground. Welcome to the SEC, Kaya Sharon, or whatever the hell his name was. It was great to see multiple guys get sacks. Really great to see, because we knew that the talent was there on the line to be very good. Also, I liked the complete performance. Only giving up 14 points. One score in the second and one late in the fourth. This team did not let Chris Rodriguez beat us. They stepped up in several key moments when, even if Kentucky was marching, getting a good rhythm, the defense was able to force a stop and a punt. They did exactly what your defense needs to do when you're looking for an upset. Truly, I mean, I liked everything about the defensive performance. They did about as solid as you could ask for the whole game, continued to create pressure and even turnover too. If I'm going to have to say something that I didn't like, it's nitpicking, but the prevent defense late in the game, which led to that late Kentucky score, the game was largely done at that point, but you never like to give an opponent an inch. So I don't know. But what does this mean for this team? What does this win mean? It honestly means everything. It just means more. The SEC. Now, this team is 4-2 heading into the bye week, and the second half of the season is truly a whole new season now. Because you're ahead of pace for a bowl game. The team just proved to itself that it could compete and beat a very solid team, signaling to everyone involved in that program that what they want is for the taking. This game felt like the exercising of some demons for this staff, honestly. Proved you can win on the road, proved you can rally a team to play up to an opponent, proved you can beat a ranked opponent. This game can serve as a buy-in game, if you will. Not that I don't think that the team wasn't bought in, but that whole locker room can now see the fruits of their labor, trust in their work, and know that they can go get the big wins. And, I mean, look, it certainly wasn't perfect. And there's definitely some areas you can look at to improve on. And that's going to be the case with every game, right? But the bottom line is that this South Carolina team rose to the occasion and beat a very good Kentucky team in their place. And now they are sitting pretty and riding high into the bye week. It's a whole new season, y'all. It's so exciting to see. When you look at the second half of the season, now some of these games that were maybe, you know, you might have felt like 50-50 about, you know, kind of a coin-tossed game. You look at them now, based on how some of these teams have performed, and you're like, okay, I've seen what we can do now. We can take that. Coming home, there's some winnable games. You know, not getting ahead of myself here. Not saying it's going to be a 10-2 year. But you are ahead of schedule now. You're 4-2 with a big-time SEC win under your belt. You're coming home after a bye week, whole week to prepare for A&M. There could be some good things on the horizon for this season. And now we just all have to pray for a late game against A&M, really, because that would be an absolutely bonkers, bonkers environment. And I just am so happy for this team, so happy for the program. You saw what it meant to Coach Beamer. He was getting choked up talking about this in the post game on the field. You could see some of the, it meant a lot for the players. You know, last time we went up to Lexington, got our ass beat. Bad. That place has been tough to play for South Carolina for years. I don't give a damn that Levis was out. They have a good defense. They have a future NFL running back. They got legitimate baller playmakers on the outside. Our team did not give them an inch. They showed up for 4 quarters. And yeah, there were times where you wanted to pull your hair out. But at the end of the day, you ended up winning pretty comfortably. the team made some fantastic second half adjustments, which is what you want to see. That's what the good teams do. The stars aligned. It was possible for the taking, and they took it. Amazing win. Kudos to Shane Beamer and staff for getting ready, making the necessary adjustments. And kudos to our players, man. So now let's rest up, get even more healthy, get even more prep, and let's start stacking these things. First three game win streak in was it 5 years? Incredible. Let's keep stacking these things. Let's go, boys. Just a great time. Which brings me to my six pack of picks results. Not the best weekend for the six pack, as it went 2-4, with the wins being Mizzou and Pitt. A couple of things that stick out in my mind from the weekend, though, from college football are Oklahoma and Auburn fans are down very bad right now. And the Kansas game was about as electric as you could ask for. And the last play call for A&M was a true head-scratcher moment. We got to hope that that is the highest that they're going to play up, and then they're going to be in all sorts of disarray heading into our game in 2 weeks. But that wraps up this episode, y'all. Next episode on Friday will be a mid-season review, considering there is no game to preview on Saturday. And then the following Monday, super exciting news. I have my first interview with a former player from USC football. Y'all definitely are going to remember him. He made his impact on the team. I'm going to announce that closer to it. Very exciting interview. But I appreciate all y'all. Follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. Catch you on the flip side.